Today is Sunday, May 8th, 2016, and this...
Saturday in Las Vegas, the busiest day of the week. The Strip is buzzing, and so is the MGM Bellagio's record-breaking buffet, one of the biggest buffets in the world.
Is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 551.
Las Vegas, the honor! Just thinking of all the amazing times that we've had here in Las Vegas.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
We're going to give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Money, we're going to be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas is waiting.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I am great.
Yay.
I'm ready for some fun Vegas chat time with you.
Hashtag Vegas chat.
No, not that Vegas chat.
Ugh.
Oh, my God. What day is that? Thursday?
Yes.
That Vegas.com does their Vegas chat on Twitter and just like ruins the internet.
Yeah.
Just PR bullshit flinging back and forth. Do any actual humans take part in that, or is it just PR schmucks?
There are a couple people
oh.
who have a high tolerance for that sort of thing,
oh my
but
God.
I do not.
No, me neither. I think I've muted most of the people who participate with any regularity because I haven't seen it much lately, mm-hmm. but the memory of Vegas chat flooding my Twitter timeline still
scars you.
Yeah, I still have bad memories. Oh, internet. Okay.
It's been a bad internet week for you, too.
What else on the internet has... Oh, let's not talk about it. Nerdfest. All right. We have a lot of Vegas stuff. We have tons of news this week. Unlike last week where there was very, very little, this week has certainly made up for that. Lots of updates on things that are interesting and fun to talk about. So let's start with some new developments on the Strip. Resorts World is the first one. A lot of people are wondering what is going on with this place. It was announced several years ago. Big Asian-themed hotel, casino, resort across from Wynn Las Vegas, and not much has happened there other than some parking garage
construction
work,
yeah,
and clearing of some land.
And
so this is
putting
the old,
up of billboards and such.
This is the old Stardust property. Genting Gaming owns it now. They bought it from Boyd Gaming, which owns Stardust, and had started to build Echelon. They're going to build Resorts World on the skeleton that was started for the previous project, but not much has happened. So they went before the Gaming Control Board, or Gaming Control Commission, I believe, in the past week to get approval for a gaming license. And as part of their report, they said that their current plan is to accelerate work beginning at the end of this year, the last 3 months of this year, with an opening date now of 2019. So I'm like, yay, new timeline. But then I was like, oh, but they've had previous timelines
mm-hmm.
that have not come to pass.
Yeah.
So I still believe this project is going to happen despite the delays.
Delays, yeah.
Because Genting Gaming, reputable company, plenty of money behind them. They're just trying to wait till the right time to get all their financing in order and make it happen. So cautiously optimistic. I'm still looking forward to this. I think it'll be a very interesting project to see once it happens. I don't know if the panda thing's going to work out, but some of the other. And I like the idea of a new themed resort. So
we shall see. I just like new stuff in Vegas.
I know. New stuff is fun. I like that feeling of going
and
having new things.
I like stuff in the form of resorts. Sometimes restaurants, sometimes bars, but a resort would be good.
Because there's so much to explore.
Mm-hmm.
Fun times. Well, there is another new Asian-themed kind of resort. It's a boutique-themed resort near SLS called Lucky Dragon. Construction on that has been underway for a while now. And it's kind of a weird thing because it was... Construction was going quickly, and then there were reports that they were pulling the plug on it for a while on construction work because they ran out of funding, and they went to the city and asked for assistance with funding, and They needed $25 million more, which is relatively small amount, but the city doesn't want to get involved in in funding these projects. The weird thing is, when they said that they were, when the reports came out that they had fired all the construction crews and stuff, we were in town a few weeks later and drove by in a cab, and there was a ton of work going on. There were like three cranes in front of the place with people doing work. So I don't know what level of, they still continued for a little while, at least some of the work. But word has come down now that they have figured out their funding situation. They have the money in hand to finish the project. And it is, again, on track to finish by the end of the year.
Okay.
So that'll be something new to see.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really curious what they're going to do with this place, because it's relatively small compared to, you know, huge strip casinos. But the focus on Asian gaming here is really heavy. Like, the floor is going to be much more paigao and baccarat than your typical casino floor, according to reports that I've read. So instead of having, like, a ton of blackjack tables, they would have much more of these other games and maybe just a couple of blackjack tables. Are they going to be able to get enough people in who are interested in those games? That's my question.
I don't know.
And then once Resorts World opens, what will happen there? I suppose by then Lucky Dragon should have an established enough customer base to be okay, but lots of focus on Asian theming right now, which is kind of an interesting thing. So that's happening, and hopefully the opening date for later this year will indeed happen. I don't anticipate spending a ton of time at this place. It's way down by SLS, about a block or so off the strip. I'm sure we'll check it out.
I don't think we'll go regularly.
No, unless there's some really, really awesome draw. Like, if they have great restaurants or something, maybe there'll be something to pull us over there. But I don't know. Time will tell. Might be a few years before like the North Strip is no longer just like
a wasteland.
Yeah, where you have to have a specific really good reason to go down there.
Mm-hmm.
It would be nice if eventually, as things build up, you just didn't think about that because there were lots of things to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'd spend more time at SLS if it wasn't for
the location.
The fact that there's no reason to go there, really. I mean, it's decent.
Yeah.
And it's fun, but that alone still doesn't do it for me.
Right. You don't want to go out of the way.
Yeah. I don't feel the experience I'm getting there is worth an extra trip.
Mm-hmm.
So. All right. Wynn Paradise Park. We discussed this a few weeks ago when it was announced. And plans are changing. Steve said on a conference call this week that he is very much in the creative phase of this project and that it's very dynamic. Things are changing every day, which means that he's in meetings going, what do you think if we put a haunted house on the island? And people are, that's a great idea, Steve. Let's do that.
And will they film a Scooby-Doo movie there?
Yeah. So the latest news on Paradise Park, which if you don't recall, this is redevelopment of part of the golf course behind Wynn and Encore. Going to turn it into a giant lagoon with an island in the middle and have fireworks and boating and anything you can do in the water, pretty much, you'll be able to do here in theory. Although, like I said, plans are changing every day. So by the time this thing happens, I would imagine some of this will be scaled back. The plan now includes a larger than initially planned lake. They're going to expand the size of that so that they can accommodate a larger island in the middle. The island is now going to be 8 to 10 stories tall, including an 8 to 10 story tall mountain featuring irregular topography.
Okay.
Thus mountain and twin peaks connected by a rope bridge.
Will it be related to the Twin Peaks restaurant? And will there be a climbing wall?
Oh God, that would be the worst if Wynn opened a Twin Peaks on the island and that was a climbing wall. That's funny. You could climb up to the rope bridge and go from one peak to the other. I don't know about this rope bridge idea.
No.
That's going to have to be some really tightly woven rope to be safe enough for people to... I don't know.
First of all, you're not a fan of heights.
No.
Second of all, you're not a fan of sturdy objects that are high up.
I don't want to walk on a rope.
Yeah.
Any activity that involves walking on rope, I'm out. I can't imagine any scenario where that seems like a good idea.
Mm-hmm. You're tight... rope walking career never took off.
It never did, and I'm still scarred from ever not trying. So other things on this mountainous island would be cabanas and special effects platforms built into the side, and a beach bar with white sand. There would also be ferries in the lake and zip lines. See, he's just throwing everything out now. Mm-hmm. What about zip lines? The kids love zip lines. Yeah, let's do that, Steve.
Will there be shuffleboard?
Yeah, probably on the ferries across the lake.
Mm-hmm. Ferries meaning boats, not winged creatures flying.
I don't know. Steve's got a lot of ideas. It could be both. So,
what about dragons?
Changes will continue to occur. I look forward to continuing to follow this project to see what other bullshit Steve comes up with that people initially say is a good idea until they run the numbers and decide it's way too expensive for what it is. Of course, the board at Wynn Resorts has not yet approved this project, so that still needs to happen. But I think pretty much anything Steve wants, Steve gets when it comes to board approval. Mm-hmm. So I won't anticipate the board standing in the way of this project.
I just want it to get wackier and wackier.
It's starting to. It was wacky to begin with.
Yeah.
And now it's like, hey, let's put a mountain on the island and let's put a rope between the mountains and zip lines. Yeah, it's going to. I hope as well that it just gets bigger and
crazier,
weirder, and before it scales back to what it actually is going to become. I think when we initially discussed this, there was not a lot of information as far as when this might open. It sounds like it's going to be about a 3 or 4 year process to build this thing. I thought it was going to be a lot quicker than that, but it sounds like 2020 or something mm-hmm. like that. So we've got all kinds of time for the plans to change and new wacky things to be included. All right. There's a casino just off Strip down by Flamingo and Bally's called the Westin. It's a chain. You've probably stayed in one or heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
They have a casino in there.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very exciting.
It's a nice place to nap.
Bustling casino. Yeah, there's not a lot of activity going on there.
When was the last time we were there?
It's been a while. There's no reason to go there. It's just the dullest casino in the history of the planet.
Well, they used to have this happy hour thing.
That was the reason to go there, and they got rid of it. They had, what was it, like 50-cent roulette or something?
Mm-hmm.
Or 50-cent craps and roulette.
Video poker, too. But why would you want comps there?
They did have a play. I do have a Players Club card somewhere from.
I do too.
It was not when it was the Max Casino, but the Causarina Casino or something. So the Max Casino, which is its current incarnation, is closing. They've decided it's no longer.
No relation to our Max.
No. Also,
that would be a crazy casino.
Yes. Also a gamble having a dog named Max. But they're replacing Max Casino with a restaurant, apparently, according to Eater.com. They apparently think a restaurant will be more profitable than the casino, which it probably will.
Mm-hmm.
They are keeping a sports book, however.
Yeah, I saw that on Sportsbook Tom's site.
Yeah, William Hill will continue to operate a sports book there, despite the fact they're not going to have other substantial gaming. They might have
some video poker at the bar.
That's what it sounds like, but no more slot machines and no more. I've always said this feels exactly what you would think it would feel like to gamble in a Westin lobby.
Mm-hmm.
They're clearing it out, and I suppose not having to have any casino staff probably makes it more efficient.
But they'll have to have restaurant staff.
Yeah, but they're making, yeah, I suppose.
But they'll probably make more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to really shed any tears over this one going away.
Yeah.
I'm sure it will be upsetting for some who love it. I don't know that there are a ton of people who love it, but.
The handful of people who love it.
Yeah. Haven't heard any outrage yet. There hasn't been an outpouring on our Facebook group of people who are outraged over this closing. So that could change, though. Mm. I'm sure there will be some passionate defense of Max Casino any time now. Let's talk about transportation. The monorail. People take that once in a while, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
We discussed a couple months ago, I think, that there were plans to eventually connect the monorail to all of the major convention centers in Las Vegas. So right now it goes to the Las Vegas Convention Center,
mm-hmm.
and it connects, a bunch of stuff on the Strip. But they want to connect it to both Sands at Venetian, which doesn't currently have a station, as well as Mandalay Bay, which has an extensive convention space. And they have approached, the people who run the monorail have approached the Clark County commissioners, and they approved, the commissioners approved spending of some money from the I didn't know this existed. The Monorail Doomsday Fund. I think, well, we'll talk more about the idea of a doomsday fund in a second, but they're going to allow them to use some of the doomsday fund money for initial planning of an extension to Mandalay Bay. So it still has a long way to go. This is just, okay, you can spend some money and plan this thing. The doomsday fund was originally set up in case the monorail failed, which almost happened several times. The commissioners required them to have enough money on hand to dismantle it, which is a good idea for a project of this scale. My question is, why don't they require this of other projects? Fontainebleau, for example.
Yes.
I would say any major resort that's being proposed, they should say, sure, you can do it, but you need to have enough money. You need to have, I don't know if it would be bonding or how that works, but you need to have...
the anti-eyesore fund.
Yeah, so that if this thing stalls for more than 3 years, you are required to use this money to take it down. I don't know why they haven't done that, but I don't know if that would just hinder things too
development,
much.
Development, yeah.
But they did it for the monorail, so I don't know. Again, it'll be a while before this happens. Right now, they're just planning. Is extending this thing to Mandalay Bay? Like I said, it's good for convention business, I guess. Mm-hmm. They think it'll bring enough new business, but I don't think it's going to lead me to take it much more often. Although Mandalay is kind of a pain in the ass to get to. And yeah, they've got their tram from Excalibur, but if you could just jump on this thing, I suppose it might be okay. Anyway, all of us are going to be dead by the time this thing gets extended to the airport and actually becomes useful. That would be just too expensive, and they're going to have too much resistance from other transportation companies, I think. So that hasn't happened, even though everybody knows it should. It's a damn shame. I'd be so happy if the monorail went to the airport. Although, it depends how much they charge, but let's say it's like $4 to take the monorail to the Strip from the airport. I'd do that.
Would you?
Yeah.
Does it depend on where you're staying? Because you'd have to haul your luggage a hell of a long way for certain places.
I would certainly have to be staying at one of the hotels that has a stop. I'm not going to. Yeah. Or very, very close, because it is a hike from most of the stations to the actual check-in desk at the casino and all, or at the hotel.
Like if you were staying at Caesar's Palace.
No, that would be.
That would not be an option.
No. Even though they label one of the stations the Caesar's Palace. I think it's like Bally's Paris, Caesar's Palace. They tack a ton of things on that are a little misleading. It's a little bit of a hike. Or maybe it's Flamingo. It's probably Flamingo Caesar's Palace Station.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is. All right. Let's talk about the Link. I continue to be extremely amused watching all the resort companies in Las Vegas stumble over themselves trying to figure out how to get some money out of the millennials. The latest one is The Link. With their announcement this week that they have added... Have you seen the rooms?
I have.
I have the press release, so I was holding up a picture for you to see in case you hadn't. They're converting some of their rooms.
I believe that was in the email that you sent me mocking.
Oh, that's right, I did. I'm like, do you believe this shit? They have converted some of their rooms to bunk bedrooms. They have, and these are not aimed at families. So if you're thinking, oh, that would be somewhere where kids... No, that's not what they're shooting for here. They're aimed at the millennial generation. And so these rooms have two queen beds and a bunk bed above one of the queen beds. Seems like a bad idea to me.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, there's going to be some drunken shenanigans.
Yeah.
And people trying to get up in the middle of the night to take a piss and falling off the bunk bed. They do have a railing on the bunk bed. But as far as getting...
But climbing down.
The other thing is, too, looking at the photo of this room, the bunk bed's about 3 feet from the ceiling. There's like...
Somebody's going to sit up and whack their head.
Well, and there's an edge there, too, because there's... there must be like a... Maybe all the rooms aren't like this, but I think they have lighting above the beds. So there's a part that hangs down. So there's like a sharp edge. If you sit up, you could crack your head open pretty bad, I would think, on this thing. I just don't see this as working out well. They only have 12 of these rooms, so maybe, you know, it's not like they're converting half their inventory to bunk bedrooms, which would be a really stupid idea. Would you
stay in one just for laughs?
No, I don't think so. I will say, I have been thinking about this. Now, my first, maybe, was it just one or maybe two guy trips where we were going as cheaply as possible. We stayed at this very property when it was Imperial Palace.
Yep.
We slept three in one of the rooms. We got a roll away. And I don't know if we did that in two of the rooms. No, we didn't need it. We didn't have that many people. But anyway, we had a roll away. And if this were an option, we might have been dumb enough to do it. Or cheap enough, I should say. It's not necessarily stupid, but at that stage, we might have said, you know what? We can probably more comfortable than a roll away.
Yeah.
One of us surely would have gotten injured trying to get in and out of that thing. No, there's no way. So I was amused, as always, by the press release. First line of the press release describing the Link Hotel and Casino as known as the social hub for trendsetters.
What?
When you think of the Link, do you think of it being a social hub for trendsetters?
No. I think of it, the casino that looks like an airport.
They're going to be taking their innovative experiences to a new level this May by offering bunk bedrooms with hip technology and chic decor, making this an unforgettable experience for millennials and modern travelers.
Who are modern travelers?
They're not trying to appeal to the people who are still coming to Las Vegas with like oxen pulling them.
Oh.
That, they don't want that.
Okay.
Those people don't need bunk beds.
People who are traveling by covered wagon.
If you have a covered wagon.
This is not for you.
Not the Link is not the place to go. This is for the modern traveler. If you arrive by jet, they want you at the Link. So this is the first time they've put bunk beds in rooms in Las Vegas, to the best of our knowledge. And we'll see.
Yeah.
The rooms are relatively cheap. I compared the rates. And of course, as always with hotel rates, they're all over the place. But during the week, I found some as low as $56. Most of the weekdays were between $56 and about $91 plus the resort fee. Weekends were quite a bit more expensive, $150 to $250. There were even some weekends that were over $300. And these are their small rooms. These are their 350 square footers. So I don't know that I want to shell out that kind of money on the weekend. But during the week, if you get, in theory, three people, but you know damn well it's going to be five. Two each, you could put two people in a queen bed, can't you? Yeah, yeah, people do it all the time. So you could put four people in the two queen beds and one in the bunk.
Unless they're you, because you require a wall of pillows.
The size of an additional person. It's true. I'm a spacious sleeper. What can I say? So yeah, I could see younger travelers who don't have the budget taking them up on this. I just think the whole drunken fall thing is a problem. And yes,
yeah,
it's true. Not everybody gets shit-faced and goes to bed. But millennial, I mean, you know, the younger you are, the more stupid shit you do in Las Vegas. So there's going to be some of that. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just, again, I continue to be amused by the flurry of activity of casinos trying to figure out how to attract these people. So far, among the things we've had are the barrage of bars offering games, shuffleboard, Jenga, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Apparently that's a, oh, and by the way, with these rooms, you can rent board games. They're really concerned with millennials entertaining themselves with games. They've got fucking phones. You know damn well they're playing. If they said you can, no, I don't even think that would be. Anyway, I was thinking video games, but no, they have that. They don't need that. So we've had that.
Yep.
We've got the, let's just make a place in our casino where they can hang out.
Right.
We've
Encore, got that. The Encore Social Club or whatever it's called.
Yeah, well, SLS had, I don't know if they still do, they had a little spot. And of course, Cosmo was the first to do it where they just, let's put a pool table up here and places to just chill. The kids love chilling.
And Cosmo now, did it, I think, weren't they just doing it to be quirky as part of their, because they did it when they opened.
I think they were ahead of the curve on a lot of this stuff. So, because, yeah, there's been...
There's foosball, there's pool, there you go. Places to lounge.
You've got your games, you've got your lounging.
Wasn't there a record player? I don't know if they still have it.
There was.
Put on some records.
Yeah, I think they've... If it's still there, I don't think you can use it. But it's in a plexiglass case or something, I think. I might be wrong. I haven't checked it out in a while. And now we've got the bunk beds. So I look forward to the next... I don't know. I know every time this comes up, every time the millennial thing comes up now, it turns a little bit ugly on our Facebook group because then people start with the millennial stereotypes about participation ribbons and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. That has nothing to do with this. This is the casino and resort companies floundering.
Yeah.
Which is amusing to see.
Yes.
Oh, and esports. That's the other one. Mm-hmm. That's the other one. And I don't know how that's going. Like, Downtown Grand is banking on that working. We'll see. Something will hit, I suppose.
Yeah.
And then they'll all follow suit.
Right. Somebody's going to finally have it stick after they throw it to the wall. And
I'm mocking the bunk bed things, but who knows? 3 years from now, every hotel might be boasting about its large bunk bed surplus.
Mm-hmm. So what other things from our childhood are they going to exploit now? Because they've got board games, they've got bunk beds. Big wheels.
I laugh, but someone could turn a conference room into some sort of big wheel experience.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. All right. If anybody stays in one of the bunk bedrooms, please give us a report. We'd love to hear what you think of it. And
yes,
if you injured yourself getting in or out of the bed.
I would stay at Link again, but not in those rooms.
Yeah, I don't see a reason.
I liked our room.
We would really have no reason for a bunk bed.
No.
Unless you're going to throw all your luggage up there or something.
No, you'd throw your back out.
Yeah, that's true.
The way I pack?
I'm an overpacker, too.
Ooh, it's rubbed off.
No, I've always been an overpacker. But I'm quick about it.
Oh.
You're an overpacker who's very, very...
Very slow and deliberate.
Very deliberate about your packing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's move on to a neighboring hotel that is also possibly going to undergo some renovations. Although this isn't a sure thing, so we have to play this.
Rumor watch. It could be true, but it's probably bullshit.
I don't think this one is bullshit. Aspects of it might be, though. Robin Leach, the professional flinger of bullshit and rumors.
Professional poo thrower Robin Leach.
Reports that Flamingo is going to undergo a $100 million renovation culminating in 2021 for its 75th anniversary. That's a long-ass time for a renovation project.
Mm-hmm.
Four-plus years, depending on when it starts. He is saying the Art Deco South Beach look... Wait a minute. Flamingo has an Art Deco, a South Beach Art Deco look?
No.
Okay, so there's that. I didn't realize that that's what they were going for. It will be reimagined and aimed at millennials. Hey, there we go.
Hey, will they have bunk beds?
And they might. Plans include a new nightclub, specifically for the rethemed Yesteryear Hotel. Okay. From Victor Dre, who, of course, does the nightclub stuff at neighboring Cromwell. It will also include celebrity chef restaurants and an expanded entrance from the Strip. All rooms will also be modernized as they do a floor-by-floor renovation of those.
Hmm.
Well, that's good.
That's
actually
good.
All
their,
this...
Their rooms could use a refresh.
Yes.
Even though it seemed like they did it fairly recently, but
they really didn't.
They really didn't.
I mean, they did some of those where they put in the wood floors, but that's still a few mm-hmm. years ago. And the go rooms, that was
a long time
seven
ago.
7 years ago yeah. or something.
It's the last time we stayed there.
Yeah. And they haven't done any, they've barely vacuumed them since.
Right.
He said there will be an official announcement with all of the plans this fall. I am giving this one an 80% chance of happening just because Flamingo is in dire need of renovations mm-hmm. and it makes sense they would do something major there. As far as the specific details that he has announced, I don't know. That's maybe, maybe not. I'm happy to hear they're planning on putting in new restaurants.
Uh-huh.
Because their current restaurant lineup is shitty.
Although, will the new restaurants be equally...
Well, they're going with the celebrity chef thing, so...
Because the chef is a celebrity doesn't mean that they're talented.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, even that one Gordon Ramsay restaurant is kind of shitty.
Mm-hmm.
So, the one at Caesars... I don't know. I don't know why they would drag it out for 4 or 5 years, but that's what he's saying is going to happen.
Hmm.
I welcome a major renovation of Flamingo. I would love for this to be a place that I want to stay again because mm-hmm. I love the location.
The location's great.
And there are aspects of the property I really like, but it's just become pretty dumpy and not somewhere. You know, you might end up getting a room that's just fine and having a fine experience there, mm-hmm. but the percentage of people who have reported... having a room that has something wrong with it or is dirty or something has increasingly grown over the last several years, and I don't really want to take that risk.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of why we've quit staying at Flamingo for the time being. So bring on the renovations, even if it takes 4 years, I say. Another rumor, I'm not going to I'll spare you playing the theme again. This is another one.
You can just hear my eyes rolling in the background.
This is another one from Robin Leach. This one, okay. Robin Leach is reporting that Kris Jenner wants to bring a Kardashian family live show to the Las Vegas Strip. A residency show called Kardashians Live.
No.
I cannot imagine anything worse in my life.
Yes.
I'd rather have the other kidney removed than sit through this show. The quote from Leach is from his column is that Las Vegas couldn't be a better setting for the headline-grabbing tabloid princesses and their dysfunctional adventures. Now, this is where he... Okay, so in theory, I can see somebody exploring this, although I don't think it's going to happen.
Right.
He's suggesting that it would include the expanded Kardashian family, including Kanye West. There's no way fucking Kanye West is doing this for a Las Vegas show. If he's going to do a Las Vegas show,
he's doing it on his own.
Yeah. First of all, part of it is he's got the biggest ego on the planet. So he's going to want his name all over it, not second fiddle to the Kardashian sisters. And then apparently somebody in that family is a DJ, so they could do DJing.
I don't know.
Anyway, there's no way that Kanye West is going to be part of this on a regular basis if it actually happens, which I'm giving a 10% chance of happening.
I will say they're very good at marketing themselves.
I know.
They've been very successful in several industries, television, cosmetics.
It's very impressive the amount of money they've raised for having no discernible talent.
Yes. Yes.
Other than making a sex tape and then being related to that person.
Mm-hmm.
And going, meh.
And being dead behind the eyes.
This is a worse idea than Duck Dynasty, the musical.
Yes.
Which is saying a lot. All right, if it happens, we'll certainly report more on it. Let's hope that this never progresses beyond this discussion.
Mm-hmm.
There's a show that closed recently after a very short run at Westgate. Westgate's been having a hell of a time with its entertainment lineup. They just can't seem to figure it out. Investors pulled out of the show Twisted Vegas, which opened in February. And, of course, as always, the producer is confident he'll be able to bring it back in the fall.
Yep.
Which is probably not going to happen either.
Nope.
That was like the wacky like parody of Las Vegas. There's a couple shows like that, and this one apparently was the first one to fail. And maybe the other one, which I think is in the Miracle Mile Shops.
Yeah.
That one might stick it out, but I'm sure the location didn't help with Twisted Vegas. Among the other shows that have failed in recent months are Suzanne Summers, who was supposed to have a long-term residency, and Dirk Arthur's Tiger Base Magic Show, which closed a couple weeks ago. And again, looking for a new home. Although Dirk Arthur has a pretty good success rate of finding a place that'll take him and his cats. Mm-hmm. Just might take a little while. Purple Rain seems to be doing well at Westgate.
Yeah.
And Cameo hasn't been open long enough yet to failed, but I don't see that one sticking around more than a few months. So there you go. All right, I know you're excited about this next one. Another show. There was an announcement this week from Channing Tatum, the hunky actor. Is he a former stripper? Is that the deal?
I don't know. I don't think so. But
I thought I heard at one point that he may have done that before he was an actor, but I don't know. He's pretty young to have been a former stripper, though.
I'll go online and verify that later.
Yeah, you look into that. I'm sure you can find some.
I bet I could find some pictures.
I'm sure you can.
Yeah.
Channing Tatum announced that Magic Mike Live will be coming to Las Vegas.
The announcement was well done.
It was very funny.
I will watch that video again.
I know you will. It was him walking around a house, supposedly his house, and a bunch of shirtless hunky men doing different tasks. And it was funny.
And there were puppies.
There were puppies. So this show, based on the movie franchise, Magic Mike and Magic Mike XXL, one of which you've seen, neither of which I have seen. Just wanted to get that out there. We'll be taking over Hard Rock's old Body English space in March 2017. This is a hell of a lead time. 10 months? But I guess they've signed the contract and maybe they have not yet started converting that club space. There are comparisons in the video and in the announcement to this being kind of like a gentleman's club for women. So I'm guessing this is more than just a stage show. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a whole environment.
Mm-hmm.
An immersive experience for ladies.
What do you mean by immersive?
You can bury yourself in man schlong.
Ah!
Just balls everywhere.
Oh!
They're soliciting ideas. If you have any ideas for what you would like the Magic Mike Live experience to include, you can submit your ideas at magicmikelivelasvegas.com. Do you have any thoughts on what you'd like to see this include?
I don't know.
Just greasy men?
No! See, my problem with that whole genre is the whole shininess of the men.
So you'd rather have non-shiny men?
I would rather have non-shiny men. Just like in the trailer, they're just hanging out and shirtless and natural and puppies.
Would you like them to be doing things that are useful, like repairing things around a fake house?
Sure.
Like, you could submit your list of projects that your husband hasn't taken care of any time in the last few years. Yeah.
Put up that new light in the living room.
I can't help but notice that you liked the Magic Mike Live page on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. I just want to stay up to date for reporting purposes for the show.
Thanks. I appreciate that. I will no longer pay attention. You let me know when there are any developments with this, since you're going to be keeping close tabs.
Because I spend so much time on Facebook.
On Magic Mike Live.
Yeah. I did that just to see.
Did you see that I shared the screenshot of you liking that page on Twitter?
I did not see that.
Yes. People were very amused. I'm curious about this. I have no interest in this other than I'm curious how they will differentiate from Chip and Dale's and all the other shows.
Yeah. I mean, it's intriguing to me, but I don't think I'm actually going to go.
I'm sure you won't.
I don't know. I mean,
it doesn't seem like you're seen.
No.
You've just never really been into that.
No.
You'd rather spend a quality night with me at some bar drinking, some dive bar.
I would. And then you put on your own show for me in the room later.
Nobody wants to hear that.
Comedy show.
Everyone just quit listening. Yeah, comedy show is, that's more like it. All right, let's move on before this gets too ugly. Longtime Las Vegas lounge act Zoe Bowie
I told you I would say something inappropriate today.
I knew it. I didn't know this would be it, but yes. Zoe Bowie, they've been around for a long time. It's really a guy and whoever he hires as backing musicians and dancers and stuff. Going to be performing a weekly gig at Downtown Grand beginning on May 13th, which I believe is this Friday. 10 p.m. show at the Citrus at the Grand Pool Deck venue.
Again, are we still using Citrus?
Horrible name. We're still using Citrus at... It's Citrus at the Grand Pool... Yes, they only switch their name once a year. At the Downtown Grand Pool.
Okay.
Next year it will be called something else, but for now it's the full name. Yeah, so that's happening, 10 p.m. show. They haven't said if there's an admission charge for this. I would imagine not. They probably want to get people up there to drink and have a good time. I've seen a few minutes of Zoe Bowie's set when they performed on Fremont Street, and it's an entertaining show. It's like a lot of cover songs and popular, currently
Will they be
popular
capitalizing
music.
On the Bowie name?
No, they don't. They never really... I don't know. Maybe they've done a Bowie song, but it's not like they're, no.
It's not like they're a Bowie cover band.
No, not
They do
in
a
any
lot
way.
Of 80s covers.
They do a lot of current covers,
too. Current covers, too?
Yeah. He's done a couple different things, because remember for a while he had two shows, and one of them was kind of like a retro-y kind of thing. And
yeah, that's what I remember.
But I think now the show is more of a top 40-ish kind of pop thing. I bet you're right, though. There's probably some 80s covers in there, too. Just because everybody loves them and can sing along. So that's happening. If you have an interest in partying at Downtown Grand or seeing Zoe Bowie, you can do it. Finally, a couple restaurant changes coming to Aria. Vegas 7 reports that Bar Masa and Tetsu, those are sushi and teppanyaki restaurants respectively, will be closing on July 31st. No word yet what will be replacing them. But those have been around for quite a while, so I thought it was worth mentioning. If you have a desire to check them out, you've got a couple months to do so, but they will be closing at the end of July. All right, so with that, let's talk about our friends at
Viator. Viator, it gives you more.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, so sometimes when people go to Las Vegas, not us people, but other people, they want to get out of the city a little bit. They just get a little overwhelmed, burned out on all the sights and sounds of casinos and slot machines and all that stuff.
What would it take for you to do one of these things?
In theory, I'd like to do some of them, but pulling me away from Las Vegas itself, the Strip and Fremont Street and all the gambling and drinking and all those things that I love so much, it would take a lot.
Yep.
But that's not speaking ill of these. It's just me. It's just me and my stubbornness and my desire to do.
I came here to drink and gamble, not look at rocks.
So I would want to see, let's talk about some of these things you can do. If you want to take a day trip from Las Vegas, you can go to the Grand Canyon. There are a bunch of different packages. Some of them are together with other things. So, for example, you can do a package that's seeing the Grand Canyon and Hoover Dam all in the same day. Or you can do it separately if you want. You can go to the Grand Canyon. There are different water-based activities at Grand Canyon. There's a White River. White rafting day trip. There's a river float. The river floating day trip, not nearly as adventurous in terms of the speed at which you're probably going to.
That would
be
all right.
It's like a much bigger thing, a much bigger boat thing you're in, and not probably as likely to scare me as white water rafting. You can check out the Grand Canyon West Rim with Skywalk. Skywalk is that thing, the glass U-shaped thing that you can walk out on.
That you would not walk out on? Or would you?
Maybe. Yeah.
Depending on how secure it was? I'd do it.
It's secure. I would maybe do that.
Okay.
It would scare the crap out of me, but I would maybe do that.
I would like to see the Grand Canyon close up someday.
Me too, but I want to do it as its own vacation, I think, more likely.
Yeah.
Because that's just me. But if you want to do the day trip, you can also do Hoover Dam with a Lake Mead cruise. Or you can go, you can really go far. You can take a Hollywood day trip tour from Las Vegas.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. They've got all this kind of stuff. Of course, Red Rock Canyon, Death Valley, Bryce Canyon, Zion National Parks. There's
Which
even an area.
I've heard are all gorgeous.
Yeah, there's even an Area 51 thing. Well, you don't, of course, get to go in Area 51, but there's a lot of interesting things on, and I'm sure you hear some good stories on the way to Area 51. Then you go to the perimeter and you can check it out from there. So if you want to get out of Las Vegas for a day, if you've got a long trip or you just need to, you know, reset and get away from the tables, Viator can hook you up. They can add a little nature, a little fun to your Las Vegas vacation that doesn't necessarily involve a casino. Check them out at Viator.com. You can download their iOS and Android apps. And of course, if you're going to book something through Viator, please click on our link at 500bymidnight.com before booking, and we get extra credit points. And as always, thank you for your longtime beloved sponsorship, Viator. We heart you. All right, we've got some listener phone calls, but first let's mention our Amazon.com listener purchase of the week. Shalimar body lotion for $52. That's expensive for a lotion.
Yeah.
It's like a 7-ounce bottle for $52, but I guess Shalimar is a perfume company. I was not aware of that, and I clicked on it thinking it was related to Jody Watley's band from the 80s. Different Shalimar, different spelling. The thing that confused me about the listing for Shalimar body lotion is that it specifies not available in Catalina Islands. I want to know what's going on in Catalina Islands that they can't get this body lotion. Seems odd to single out that one relatively small part of the world as...
As, no, you cannot have this.
I know. Is there like... I don't know.
I don't know.
Are you familiar with the Shalimar line of products?
No. The name is familiar, but I am not familiar with the scent or the variety or whatever.
Well, thank you to whoever spent $52 on a little bottle of lotion. We appreciate it. If you're going to buy something on Amazon, please click through the links at 500bymidnight.com before you add things to your cart, and we get a small kickback from Amazon and help support the show. You're not spending any additional money, but other than what you'd spend on the product, and yet we benefit, and it shows us your love. All right, we've got a bunch of phone calls, starting with this one.
Hi, Tim and Michelle. My name is Rob calling. I come from Abbotsford, British Columbia, and I enjoy your podcast quite a bit.
There
you listen to it a lot while I'm out riding on my cycle, etc. Out here for the second time this year, I was able to get out to Vegas 3 or 4 times last year, and I hope for another 4 this year. A little bit different. I'm on my own this time, and I'm learning about being in Las Vegas solo. It's terrific. I started off at the Mirage. That was comped a room through My Vegas, and that evening also went to go see Billy Idol, and that was a terrific thing too. Like Vegas, for a couple of different things that you guys might not be so hip on is the buffets and also hanging out at the pools. But from what I understand, doesn't matter what it is, as long as people are enjoying Vegas, you guys are cool with that.
Hells yeah. I was thinking about why we don't do buffets as much anymore.
Yeah.
I haven't really come up with a good reason other than I think, like, we used to do that a lot.
We used to do... at least one buffet every trip.
I think part of it might be the price of them has gone up quite a bit.
Yep.
And if I'm going to spend that money on a meal,
I want it to be fancier.
Not even necessarily fancier, but
just quality. Like,
yeah. Yeah. And there's some pretty good quality buffets, but mm-hmm. it's not the same experience, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not opposed to going to buffets. It's just, it doesn't.
I think part of it for me is that we have so many restaurants that are on our must-do list that I don't want to take one of those off to spend it at a buffet.
That's a very good point. When I look at my list of restaurants I want to either return to or visit again, they just don't rank as high for me.
Mm-hmm. But buffets don't.
Right. But I still like the idea of the buffet as part of the quintessential Las Vegas experience.
Yeah.
Like if someone were to ask me, look, I've never been to Las Vegas. What are 10 things I must do?
Mm-hmm. Buffet would be one.
You got to do one of the buffets for your first trip. Definitely.
I tried out the Golden Nugget the next night and enjoyed Fremont Street and, now I'm going to be going to the Supercross race at Sound Boyd Stadium on Saturday, and the least expensive place I could find was out here in North Las Vegas at the Cannery. Been staying here for a day or two, and it's a pretty solid place and enjoying that quite a bit. So enjoy the podcast, and if I get some more news or adventures, I will be sure and give you a call.
All right. Thank you for checking in. We appreciate it. Sounds like a good time.
Yeah.
Hope you like that Billy Idol show as much as we did.
Yes.
And stuff your face with buffets. What the hell? It's Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And I would like to spend time at the pool sometime, but I think I'd want to do a cabana situation just to hang out. But that requires...
I looked into the cabanas at Golden Nugget during our last trip, but the prices were a tad steep for the amount of time we would have been able to spend there.
Right. It seems like you'd want to do more of an all-day thing. And I don't, again, the whole being torn away from the drinking and gambling aspects.
Part of the reason I was looking at these for a March trip is because it was a longer trip than normal. So mm-hmm. I thought, you know what, if we spent a chunk of a day at the pool, I wouldn't mind it so much.
Yeah.
But again, the prices were a bit, it was like $400 or something like mm-hmm. that, which just for the two of us seemed to be a bit steep.
If
we had a bunch of friends in town or something.
Oh, yeah. And I'm sure if you went back and listened to previous shows, we'd be like, oh, no, I don't get the cabana thing. But
you've experienced it and said it was a great time.
Yeah, it was.
When your friends were there.
Yep.
So, we'll maybe try it sometime. All right. Let's move along to our next caller.
Hey, Tim. Hey, Michelle. This is Julian calling from SoCal.
Hey, Julian.
I wanted to talk about a few places that I went to during my trip. I went to Piranha Nightclub, which is a gay club off strip. It's in between McCarran and the Hard Rock Hotel. It's a nice club. We took a cab there from Paris, and it took us about 3 minutes to get there, so it's not too far. It's a nice space. It's a really nice space. We went on a weekday, so the area we were in was fairly small. So the dance floor was kind of small, probably because we did go midweek. So that probably had a lot to do with it. They do have a bigger space, which is probably open on the weekends, where there is a second level and a stage. So you can probably watch, you know, the performers or whoever's performing that night from there. But that area was closed off for us. So, the drinks there are good. They're not super fancy or anything. I'm sure they can make some, but I just got well drinks all night and they were fine. There's a really nice outdoor space with a fireplace and you can just hang out and chill. It's really nice and it's quiet. So that's always good. There's no cover. So that's nice too. And you can dress casually. So you're fine going in jeans and a t-shirt. So you don't have to dress up fancy or anything like that. Another thing I wanted to talk about was Cañonita, which is a Mexican fusion, I don't know, type of crap restaurant in Venetian. This place sucked. I mean, that's just my personal opinion, but this is why I don't like going to fusion restaurants, because I just always end up being disappointed. It's located in the Grand Canal Shops at the end of the canal indoors. So it's really nice because the gondolas, float on by and you can hear the singers or the people that are in the gondola singing. don't know what they're called. I lost my train of thought right now.
Gondoliers?
So you're pretty much paying for the view. The chips and salsa cost like $3-4, and those even sucked. I was really disappointed. I'm a big lover of Mexican food. I mean, I am Mexican myself, but this was so disappointing. I don't even know where to begin. I had the chicken and steak fajitas. My chicken was, there was no flavor to it. The steak was kind of dry, and even the vegetables kind of sucked. Like, I don't know how you mess up fajitas, but they did. The rice was good. I'll give them that. The mole, I tried some of the mole. That wasn't good at all. Usually mole, you cook it. You cook the chicken in the mole. It looks like they just boiled the chicken and poured the mole sauce on top. So it had no flavor whatsoever. My whole dining experience was just terrible because it was just bad. I don't even know how to explain how bad it was. It just was flavorless food. You're pretty much just paying for the view. And the view is nice. So, I mean, that's the only thing that I really enjoyed there. And, yeah, I wouldn't recommend it. But if you want to try, you know, some Mexican fusion crap, go ahead. Yeah, that's about it. Thanks for the show. Bye.
All right. Thanks for that report. I have not heard of that restaurant before this report.
No. And I have no desire to go there.
No. I appreciate your candid review of that restaurant. And I think we'll skip it. There are better Mexican restaurants. Let's go to Javier's instead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thanks for that report. And we haven't received any reports on Piranha Gay Night Club previously, so always good to hear about new places on the show as well. Thank you. Next caller, please.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. This is Charles from Wisconsin calling. Kind of a late mini trip report from my trip that included visit. I did stay at an Aria Corner Suite, which is now part of the Tower Suites. And I got limo transfer from the airport in a nice Escalade. It was pretty nice. The Tower Suites lounge is quite a nice bonus. You have your selection of snacks and drinks and all that good stuff. And it's right off the casino. But one game I did get to play was Find the Hidden PGP, you know, when you're in all of the MGM properties.
For anyone who's not familiar, PGP is Profit Growth Plan, and that is MGM's current initiative to find anywhere they can to increase their bottom line.
So any way they can to screw customers and increase their profits.
Reducing expenses and increasing revenues, often through fees. So I'm curious what he came up with.
And I found three very distinct bits of hidden PGP. One was that all of the virtual blackjack games have been downgraded. At Mirage, for example, the virtual dealer blackjack game now paid even money for blackjack or one-to-one, or, you know,
pretty typical of bar top blackjack machines too.
Yeah,
they do that a lot. But I think he's talking about those machines where they have like the virtual dealer and all that stuff. So that's a drag.
Wow. Yeah.
$5 game. That's really bad. And then the next hidden PGP was at the Slots of Fun, where they have a $3 drink special. But when you get your drink, it's $3 plus tax. So, unfortunately, the bartender got screwed out of his dollar tip, and he got 76 cents. Finally, at the Academy of Country Music Party for a Cause, all of the drinks came in Criss Angel Believe cups, because the show's closing, so they moved all the cups down to the Academy of Country Music Party for a Cause to use them up. Hey, I love the show. Enjoyed the show at Visit. Hey, have a good time. Bye.
Thanks for the report.
Yep.
Those Criss Angel Belief Cups will be collector's items when Mind Freak opens his new show, which we're all excited about. I saw some tweet. Oh, Johnny Katz tweeted that I think the opening date on Criss Angel Belief may have changed because it's... Mind Freak might have changed because it's quite an effort. And I retweeted it with a comment. It'll be quite an effort for the audience as well.
Nice.
Fairly certain that's true. All right. Thank you. It was good to see you at Vzzz, and hopefully we'll see you at VIMF as well in October. Somebody emailed me and asked about VIMF. Not quite. They're a new listener. Not quite clear what that is.
Yeah.
And Vegas Internet Mafia Family Picnic. It's a big weekend for you guys, all of our listeners and fans and readers of Vegas Tripping and listeners of Vegas Gang, to come out and gather together and have a weekend of Vegas-y fun. And we'll be announcing details about what all that entails as the event gets closer. It's going to be in October. Middle of October, and Vegas Internet Mafia is the place you can keep an eye on it. There's also a VIMF Twitter account if you'd like to follow that. So details will be announced as we go, but it's a weekend of great fun, including doing our podcast live and then all kinds of other very amusing things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to it already.
Yeah.
Okay. Next up.
Hey, Tim and Michelle, this is Brian from Buffalo, New York. Just came back from a visit to downtown Las Vegas and got a little trip report. First of all, I mean, downtown is where it's at. I know there's benefits and ups and downs for each of them, but I'll tell you, I have the best time in the world downtown. And going into that, we stayed at the D. There was a minor little difficulty that we experienced over there, but I'll tell you one thing, Derek and his staff well compensated us for any inconvenience that was caused. I can't say enough about staying over there. Those people really go out of their way to make you feel welcome. So, but on another note, we decided to do a steakhouse comparison, partially due to the fact that we got some compensation by the D. So we went to Adiamo on Sunday and had no complaints about the meal. Everything was pretty good. Restaurant was a little bit loud, but that's the D for you. So I had the ossobuco, and that was pretty good, and the rest of the people had fillets and that. But due to your recommendation, which I listened to the podcast prior to going there, went to go to Hugo's Basement, and I'll tell you, you're right. Yeah, I know you guys got head comps for the meal there, and that one I did not, but I paid for it. Would highly recommend it. That salad cart that they bring to your table, from that to the ice cream sorbet, which I did eat the cone because I think that's one of the best parts of it. Heck with it. And it was just outstanding. Going from entering the restaurant to leaving the restaurant, and it is quite reasonably priced for what you get. Another thing that we did was the Golden Nugget Sip and Stroll.
I'm curious about this.
Seen that on the internet, went there. It was 8 cocktails and 8 different bars.
Oh, dear.
And they were pretty premium cocktails. For $40, you can't beat it. It averages $5 a drink, from a peach Bellini to margarita to a bourbon drink with chocolate-covered brandy-infused cherries in it.
Yes.
I think the guy at the bar said that drink alone goes for $15, and believe it or not, that's worth every dime of it. But we killed the, you get a little coupon thing with 8 different coupons, and you go to each bar and present it, and they graciously give you your drink, and it was pretty good. A couple downsides on it was just sake and a glass of champagne, which I'm not really a fan of, but then again, I drank it because it was all part of our vacation thing. And then to top everything off, got a Royal at the D.
Nice.
$1,325 and a quarter machine over at View Bar, which is my favorite. and it was quite exciting. So at my second Royal at the D in the last 3 or 4 years, so I was happy with that. Prior to that, it wasn't going real well, but after that, it was going really well. So anyway, I just wanted to extol my enthusiasm for Hugo's basement and the rest of the things, and I'm glad that I left Wednesday morning, because Wednesday night, I guess somebody peed on somebody from the zip line. So, you know, so just another reason my son said why Vegas is not for kids, because I don't think they like golden showers. So, all right. Thank you very much. Keep up the good work. Bye.
All right. Thanks for that report. Hugo Cellar is at Four Queens, if you're wondering where that is. Love that experience. We want to go back there.
Definitely.
All right. Thanks for that report. We were curious about the Golden Nugget Sip and Stroll and whether or not that was a good value, and it certainly sounds like for the most part it is.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next final caller.
Hey, Tim and Michelle and pups. This is Mara, also known as OU Piglet, calling in on May 1st. Just finished having my 10th anniversary dinner with Mark Von Vegas at Gordon Ramsay Steakhouse. It was delicious. It was full of cowie goodness. just calling today because I was thinking about you all and the fact that I called in on my first wedding anniversary, and I was thinking about that as today is my 10th wedding anniversary. What a long, crazy last 10 years it's been. I can't believe it's been 10 years. And you guys have been alongside for the ride, and I appreciate your friendship and the podcast and all the friendships I've made from everybody on here along the way. So with that being said, happy anniversary to my husband, and thank you all for all you do, and I will talk to y'all soon.
Awesome.
Awesome. Always. Happy anniversary.
Yes, happy anniversary. Oh, they got married at Caesar's Palace. I love their wedding pictures.
Yes.
Always good to hear from Mara. She's awesome.
She's great.
Yes. Wow, I didn't realize she'd been listening for that long. Time flies.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Thank you for listening for so long,
too. I know. She's our pal.
Yeah.
All right. So,
and we didn't meet her until
a couple years ago.
Yeah. But it was great. It's like, oh, we finally get to meet.
I know. Facebook group post of the week this week. It was referenced a couple minutes ago by Brian. Keith posted an article about the kid pissing on people from the Slotzilla zipline, which a 15-year-old might have been intentional, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Gross.
I can't believe
gross.
This. It's taken this long for this to happen, and I would have guessed vomit soon. That has to happen. There has to be some vomiting incidents, wouldn't you think?
I would think so.
Although I would think everything gets videotaped now, so if that happened, I would think someone would have posted it on YouTube, and it would have made the rounds, but I don't know. Now, do you think, since this has gotten so much attention, someone will be intentionally vomiting from
I don't know.
Slotzilla?
I'm going to be walking along the sides of Fremont Street for a while.
Probably a good move. Yuck. All right.
Ugh,
we will post
so
a link
gross.
In the show notes to the Facebook group post of the week. I had many people email and message me with that article. That was definitely a popular topic of discussion this week for Vegas fanatics. All right. PayPal donations, several Karma donations from you, our beloved listeners, a recurring monthly donation from Ryan.
Thank you,
sir. Karen with a Karma donation from Memorial Day trip. She said, thank you for the weekly Vegas fun and for making me laugh while I'm doing household chores or driving on boring Midwest highways for visits to customers. I love that our show makes otherwise tedious tasks tolerable.
Yes.
I won't say entertaining. I'll say tolerable.
Right.
So I'm glad you like it. And thanks.
Thank
and
you.
Good luck,
good
Karen.
Good luck on your Memorial Day trip.
Mark said, karma is my bitch.
All right.
Vegas bachelor trip in 1 month.
Thank you.
Bachelor
Have a great
party
time.
Trip. Have a good time, Mark. John from Minneapolis with a donation for the 500 Cocktail Fund.
Ooh.
Said he just finished binge listening to a year's worth of podcasts in preparation for an upcoming trip in June, and he appreciates the show.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, John. Danielle and Tim. They're Vimfers. We know Danielle and Tim. Leaving for a short 3-day all downtown trip on Monday of this week.
Yay.
And can't wait like everyone else. She said, I'm a nerd and love listening to the most recent podcast on the flight down and getting all giddy when hearing our names. Well, good. You're going to get to hear your names now.
Yes.
Hello, Danielle and Tim.
Hello.
Yeah. So have a great time. And they're planning on going to VIMF again. So we'll
Yay!
See you in October.
Looking forward to it. Have a great time this week and can't wait to see you in October.
Phil and Rosie from the UK. Karma donation for next week's 20th wedding anniversary trip. Happy anniversary. 20 years. That's fantastic.
Yes.
They're going to be renewing their vows and thanked us for the show. So you're welcome.
Thank you.
Our dogs say thank you as well, as you can hear. Wow, they're enthusiastic about our karma donations this week.
I guess.
Finally, Amanda and Trevor, they are going down to Las Vegas to celebrate Trevor's 29th birthday.
Yay.
Good luck and happy birthday,
Good luck,
Trevor.
Happy
Have
birthday.
A great time.
Have fun.
All right. Thank you all. We do appreciate the support of the show. It means a lot to us. As always, I got to pimp my book, The Outsider's Guide to Las Vegas, available on Amazon and wherever finer books are sold. Finer than what might be the question. You can find out all the details at LasVegasOutsidersBook.com if you want to read my brilliant words and sage advice and
ramblings.
Rambling rants about Las Vegas. You can do it via said book. Available in audiobook, too. Been selling a lot of audiobooks lately. So, yeah. All right, 500bymidnight.com is our website. 500gmail.com is the place to send Dear Tim and Michelle questions. Might pull out some Dear Tim and Michelle questions on the next show, depending on how much stuff we have to talk about. You can find us both on Twitter. I am 500. She is Anita Martini. And, of course, our voicemail line available to you anytime, day or night. We'd love to hear from you at 702-866-9494. As always, thank you for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We do appreciate it. We hope you have a good week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.